morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, June 29th, 2018. We have 20 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, on the main channel of the Columbia River Bar at the mouth of the river where the mighty Columbia slams into the Pacific, here's the forecast for this morning. We have combined seas 2 to 3 feet. But they'll be building to 5 feet, maybe about 5 feet during those max ebb current times that you hear about in the forecast, in the special marine weather forecast for the bar. We had a strong ebb around 6:15, beginning around 6:15 this morning, another around 6:45 this evening, and again around 6:45 Saturday morning. So every 12 hours, about halfway through the falling tidal cycle, you get this period on the river, on the lower river here, where the current just gets to its maximum speed, and that can be quite difficult for small vessels on the river, and that's why it's part of the marine weather forecast. So right out here off Astoria, you can see the buoys leaning in the current around that time, and at the mouth of the river, it can become extremely problematic with all that water slamming into the, almost like slamming into a wall of the Pacific Ocean there at the mouth of the river. It can create sneaker waves, eddies and odd situations, odd current situations, and just plain big seas, bigger than normal seas out there during that time. Today, overall in our marine weather forecast, west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves from the southwest 1 foot high at about 4 seconds apart, west swells 4 feet at about 10 seconds, and a chance of rain in the morning, just as we have on land. And today we're going to be talking about a tragic accident at the port of Longview. One man was killed, 3 others were injured after one of the lines that tied the ship to the dock snapped. So we'll talk about that. And actually, that's a rather not an uncommon occurrence in the maritime work environment. So let's take a look at our ships coming and going today. We have 7 inbounders, 8 in the Astoria anchorage, and 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. The American Endurance is our first arrival from Anacortes. She's headed for Portland. Her cargo is petroleum, so she is a tanker. She will pass Astoria maybe around noontime, maybe 1 o'clock or so, and then be up in Portland by about 7 p.m. The research vessel Nautilus will be at the port of Astoria today at about, get there maybe around 1:30. She is owned by the Ocean Exploration Trust, which is associated with Bob Ballard, who is very famous as having his work with the wreck of the Titanic. He's been on TV a lot and is very, very famous in the maritime research realm. So this research vessel, his research vessel, will be at the port of Astoria today, this afternoon. You could drive by and see it. The COS Lucky is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's a wheat ship. She'll be going upriver to pick up wheat eventually. But in fact, she'll be leaving around. She'll be in there at the port of in our anchorage and then heading upriver later on to pick up wheat in Portland. So look for her in the anchorage around 1:30 this afternoon. The Buenaventura is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's headed for the Weyerhaeuser Salt Docks and Longview Industrial Salt there. She'll pass Astoria around 7:30 this evening, about 3.5 hours later in Longview. The Maratha Promise is arriving from Los Angeles, headed for Vancouver. She'll be passing Astoria maybe around 9 p.m., about 6 hours later at the port of Vancouver. The Chemtex Pioneer is arriving from China, headed for Astoria's anchorage, arriving there maybe around 9 o'clock this evening. The Libra Leader is a car carrier, arriving from Japan, headed for the port of Portland. Brand new Toyota's on board. She'll pass Astoria maybe about 9:30 p.m. and about 3:30 in the morning on Saturday, she'll be at the port of Portland. In the Astoria anchorage, the Ascanius is headed for the Kalama anchorage. She's picking up corn, soy, or wheat are the possibilities there. She'll leave around noontime and arrive in Kalama around 5 p.m. The Lara is headed for the Vancouver anchorage around 2 p.m. She's eventually going to the Port of Portland to pick up potash for export. And awaiting orders in our anchorages, we have Ken Hu, the Seawind, the Calliope L, the Rodon Amarandan, which has been out there for a while now, the Pan Unity, and the COS Lucky, which will be heading upriver later on. In our outbounders, the Flipper is leaving Kalama with corn, soy, or wheat on board around 3 p.m., so look for her around 8 p.m. outbound past Astoria. The Super Caroline is leaving Vancouver at about 3:30 p.m., so maybe 9:30 past Astoria outbound. The Lita is leaving Kalama with wheat on board, and she's heading out about 8 p.m., so about 1 a.m. on early Saturday morning, she'll pass Astoria. The ND Pistis is leaving Longview with soda ash on board at about 11 p.m. And the Carmel is leaving Portland with potash on board at about 11 p.m. So maybe around 5 a.m. Saturday morning outbound, you'll see her heading out to sea. Well, a tragic accident at the port of Longview that shows the inherent risk of working on deck in the maritime industry. And really, ships in general are industrial work environments. People wear hard hats. Accidents happen and people get injured. In this case, someone was killed. So let me read this article. This is a press release from the Port of Longview. In the early morning hours of Thursday of this week, a maritime accident occurred at the Port of Longview, resulting in a tragic fatality and other injuries. As a vessel attempted to move along the dock from one loading berth to another, one of the vessel lines snapped in half and recoiled both toward the dock and the vessel. ILWU member Byron Jacobs, 34, was fatally struck. He was pronounced dead at the scene. The chief mate aboard the vessel was also struck. He's in critical condition at Southwest Washington Medical Center. Another longshoreman and security guard also received non-life-threatening injuries. This is a tragic day on the waterfront, said ILWU Local 21 President Jake Ford. Byron was an active member of the union, loved his work, and will be incredibly missed. Our hearts are with his family and friends as we grieve this tragic loss. The vessel, the Anzac Splendor, picking up soda ash at the port there, remains docked at the port's berth 5. The U.S. Coast Guard and Washington State Labor and Industries are on scene conducting an investigation. So what happened here? Well, if you observe ships at the dock, they stay there because they're tied up with lines, big, heavy lines, inches thick. There can be extreme stresses on these mooring lines, especially at Longview. I remember when I traveled on a ship in 2010, the ship left from Rainier from the U.S. gypsum plant, and the captain told me that because of the very strong currents along the waterfront there on the Rainier side of the river, at least, they had to use 4 dock lines at each contact point on the dock, and that he had come there earlier because he came to that dock quite regularly on a run from Mexico up to here and then up to British Columbia and Tacoma, that when they only tied the ship up with one line, the ship almost broke the lines free from the dock simply because of the current. So you have a very heavy ship that can carry, say, 35,000 tons of cargo being pushed by, say, a 5-knot current. When the stress builds on those dock lines, if there are any weaknesses in those lines, a line is only as strong as its weakest point, and something happened there, and the line snapped. Now, something under such incredible tension as a line with that much force on it recoils in both directions. So as you can hear from this story, the person who was killed was on the dock. The line snapped back and hit him, hit several other people. People on the ship were hit by that recoiling piece of line, and it was enough to kill someone. So this is actually not an uncommon injury in the maritime industry. People on ships are constantly inspecting their lines to make sure that there's no chafing. And if you have a sailboat, you may know that you protect your own lines from chafing by putting protecting rubber and things around them to protect them from getting wear spots in them. But something like that could have happened. And sometimes the stress is just too strong for these lines to hold up. So that is what happened. And it's a terribly tragic thing. So much force there that you might not realize it until something lets go. So anyway, a very sad story that gives me an opportunity to talk about the inherent dangers of something like a huge, huge ship when something goes wrong. You're listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a good weekend.